You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, guys? Welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we're going to talk about the Rockets game from last night, a tough one where Victor Oladipo almost once again was incredible and saved this team, but alas, James Harden was better in this one. As always, I am Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News and over at 8 Points 9 Seconds. I was at this game. I got to feel the vibe and talk to guys. It wasn't like a sad locker room after the game. I think everybody was pretty upbeat and into it, but I think that they thought they were going to win, so that's always tough to swallow for the team. But I think a good starting point, and I think this is how I'm going to do game recaps from now on, is talk about what the winning team did well first, and then what the losing team did well but could have been better, and then a third segment about something I want to highlight, and in this case, it's Nate McMillan. So I'll talk about Nate at the end. But first, I want to start, so what did the Rockets do well? How did the Rockets beat the Pacers in this game? James Harden is my short answer. And I'll just get this out of the way. Yeah, there were two horrible, horrible, horrible foul calls on him. One of them was a layup where there was contact, but Vic was going backwards, like he didn't jump at him or anything. And they called a foul. Harden, and it was both of these fouls, by the way, were after Harden missed. They called it. It was lame. I hate complaining about the refs. I think refereeing is a hard job, and I think they get 97, 98% of calls right. Like, that's all you can really ask of them. It's so hard. I just wanted to be consistent, and they were not in this game, and McMillan had the same frustrations after the game. The second one, Harden took a step-back jumper. There was, as AJ Reese, he was on the fan show, put it on Twitter. He said there was 6 inches of air between the guys, and that made me laugh because there was. There was no contact at all. It was ridiculous. But other than that, and Harden made all four of those free throws, which they all won by four. Harden was outstanding. He hit a bunch of threes. He got to the rim. He was manipulating everything. Balls on a string. You know, they were blitzing him a lot. Blitzing basically is like the second he comes around the screen on a pick and roll, they send two guys at him, make the ball get out of his hands, make him make a decision. But James Harden is so, so good at slowing down, assessing all the options, looking through all of his reads and making the right pass. And he was doing so good at that in this game. He had, I think, three or four lobs to Capella, which is another thing I want to talk about, both in the Pacers and Rockets section. Capella, 8 for 10 from the field, 10 rebounds. Pretty much was, as Adam described, I think Adam picked him as the butcher accurately. I mean, we both said CP3 and James Harden also, but Adam picked Capella and accurately. So Turner has a tough task in this game, and sometimes he did a good job, and sometimes he did a really bad job. But if they are going to blitz, sometimes Turner's the second blitzer, and then the second that Turner jumps up at Harden or Chris Paul or whoever's handling the ball, the weak side man has to jump in and stop Capella rolling to the rim. But other times they had the guy defending whoever was in the slot be the blitzer, and then Turner has to drop and stay with Capella. And Turner did not do a very good job in the second situation where he had to drop and stay with Capella. I think two or three lobs went right over his head. And the other times on the blitzes, he was like, okay, but then he's pulled away from the rim. His impact is less. He really was okay on D, like when guys just straight up beat their matchups and went at him, he was forcing passes out, but I'll talk about him in the next section. He was not good in this game outside of that. And Capella and Harden went right at him and right over him, and they killed him. And Capella's just a complete beast. There's a reason he just got $90 million, $18 million, whatever, because he is perfect for the Rockets. He sets great screens. He's great hands. That would go a long way for Turner also. I keep saying I'm not going to talk about him until the next section, but if Turner could just catch things, that'd be awesome. But Capella's getting up for the lobs, dunking, playing good D around the basket too, which is underrated about him. And Harden, again, was spectacular in hitting the outside shot. He had a nasty step back on the wing on Oladipo and a nasty one in the corner as well. And then he had the dagger three where Turner was playing drop coverage and Vic thought it was a switch coverage situation. So they both chased the same guy. Two passes later, Harden has a wide open three. Vic runs out, shot fake. Harden has a wide open three and he nailed it. He was amazing in the clutch in this game too. So he was just awesome. And then James Ennis did a great job guarding Bojan, and I know that sounds like such a minor thing, like two less impactful than the starters, but Ennis shot 5 for 7 and held Bojan to 2 of 6 shooting, And that's huge. I mean, Bojan's the second scorer for this team's starting lineup for a reason. He was shut down. Meanwhile, Ennis is hitting his shots. Like, that's a big swing when the better player plays worse in that matchup. PJ Tucker played amazing defense. He had one cheap shot on Bojan with his shoulder, but he played amazing defense, especially on Vic on the last possession of the game to force up some crappy three. I mean, Darren Collison almost saved the day with a rebound there, but PJ Tucker was amazing. He had the highest plus minus of anyone in this game. He was defending really well. He shot well from three, which is big for him because he's not a great shooter, but when he's hitting, he's like very useful for this team. So yeah, those guys in particular that I just named all played above or at their expectation, and that was huge for the Rockets because their bench was not very good. The Pacers bench won the plus minus battle there. And Chris Paul was dishing out very well. He wasn't hitting his shot. He knew that. He was deferring a lot, and he had 13 assists. But he was not normally as good as Chris Paul can be. But yeah, the Rockets just picked him apart with Harden and, you know, with those other dudes playing above their level. And I think the biggest one, though, I mean, I think Harden is obviously the MVP of the game and the reason they won. But I think the biggest one's Capella just being that good and shaking Miles Turner's D off. Is huge because now Vic has to either be a super plus defender, which hurts his offense because he's giving all this effort on D, or they just don't have any other plus defenders and they have to score a bunch of points, and they don't. They just don't this year. They win on defense. So Turner not being impactful on D really hurt, and I think Capella deserves a ton of credit for that, and Capella's a beast on the glass. He showed that again in this game. Adam was right on the butcher call. Good for him. And there are, again, I talked about the ways to slow down what Capella did, and I think they'll be ready for it on Sunday. But now when there's Eric Gordon in, it's a different beast now because they can mix and match more lineups. They won't be doing the same coverages with Capella. It's tough. This was the one they could have won, and they didn't. So tough to swallow that, when the guy plays exactly how you know he's going to play and still has an outstanding game, but it is what it is. So now I'm going to take a short little break and tell you a story slash talk to you about my bookie real quick. So my story I want to tell you is about the NBA this year, actually. It seems like every game is 120 to 115, which is some people don't like it. And I'm on the fence here. I like shot variety. Like, I like mid-range shots. I think they're aesthetically pleasing. But I also like analytics and stuff, too. So it's a tough balance for me to decide what I like more. The threes and layups only are, you know, an aesthetically pleasing game that's lower scoring. I think I lean the way of the aesthetics. But anyway, there's been a lot of games like the Pacers-Nets game where it's like 130 to 120. And they're scoring 250 points combined. So there's a lot of over. If you're going to bet, there's a lot of over. And the over-under betting. Well, the only game this whole season that I bet on was Thunder Warriors, right? Two high-powered offenses, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, the entire Warriors team. The over-under was 219.5. I bet the over, and lo and behold, 210 was the final combined score, and I got it wrong. it sucked, and I was mad, and I actually liked betting quite a bit. I suck at over-unders. I usually avoid them. I usually just go for spreads. But yeah, that was my funny gambling story for the season so far. I'm actually up a bit of money, which is good. But what you're betting on is the moral of the story there is very important. And that's why I like to use my bookie. I think it's the best way to bet. They've been in this business for forever. We like them because they have such great reviews. They have a great app. They have a guaranteed cash. I know everybody I've talked to who's used it gets their payouts. You know, it's just perfect for everything you need. They've got everything. They have in-game betting too, live betting. It's just rewarding. It keeps you engaged in games you have no rooting interest in. It's just great. So I would highly recommend you join and check out my bookie. And I can get you a code to have them match your deposit dollar for dollar up to $1,000, which is quite a bit. Use the promo code locked on, LOCKED space ON to activate that on my bookie. That's LOCKED space ON. Go check them out. But now let's pivot and talk about the Pacers and what they did well and what they could have done to win the game. So in particular, that's the wrong phrase. That's not even what I wanted to say. Specifically is not right either. Holistically, I thought the Pacers played well. to hold the Rockets to 98 is great. And I don't think anyone besides Turner played bad in this game. So really, they did the right things. It's just some minor things here and there culminated to this game, them not being enough to beat Houston. So first of all, I talked about Turner a lot in the first section. Now I'll flip here. He did good a few times when Capella was out of the game on D, but when Capella was in, Harden and Paul just figured out every flaw with Turner's D and picked him apart. He was not good on that end. Outside of maybe, I would say 50% of his possessions were good and 50% are bad, but, you know, I always talk about how good he is on D. If he's not doing that, then he's not effective. And his offense was not good. He was 2-for-7. The shot wasn't falling, only 2 rebounds. Capella beat him up there. 3 turnovers. His hands weren't good, so he just wasn't good. And that hurts when you're playing against a team that has a really good center in Clint Capella. Victor Oladipo, though, was amazing. And I think that we take this for granted, right? Like, that's his 10th 20-plus point game in a row. Shot over 50% in this one. Was going shot for shot with James Harden down the stretch. Just ridiculous. And something like, I couldn't even believe it. All I could think to tweet or like comment on it was like, how is this possible? You know, how does he go the whole game and just kind of piddle-paddle around, and then all of a sudden he's like, all right, let's win, and then he makes all these shots, and it is as good as last year's MVP for 2 minutes. Like, that's crazy. But he was awesome. His defense was good. His offense was good. And really, I don't know what to say about this possession. So it was, I'm trying to remember because some stuff happened after. I think it was, he only made one of the free throws. I think it was 93-96. The Pacers had the ball, and the shot clock was off, and Vic was trying to get a 3 to tie the game. Nothing there. He does a step back, and he picks up his dribble. P.J. Tucker's right with him, so he gives it to Tyreek. Tyreek gives it right back, and he dribbles around, nothing. And then he just takes this terrible, terrible, heavily contested look over P.J. Tucker, clunks it completely, and Darren Collison bails him out with an offensive rebound, and he missed one of the free throws, so it didn't matter. But I wish that that was the only possession I thought Vic could have done something different that could have helped. I think passing or like setting up an action, like a DHO with anybody, would have been better than that. But he was so good on every other clutch possession that I cannot complain, and his D was good. So that was good. Thad was awesome too, led the team in rebounds with 11. 4-7 from the field, great defense. Made Melo look silly when they were matched up a few times. I enjoyed that. And off the bench, Sabonis continues to be great. Capella's a good matchup for Sabonis, like me and Adam talked about on the weekly show. He's better against guys who are more anchored to the post than guys who are stretchy. Capella's much, much, much more anchored to the post. And then he also got the minutes against Hartenstein, which really helped him too, because Isaiah Hartenstein is not very good. But Sabonis was 7-for-9, had 8 rebounds, +3. He was just good. he closed the game again against Capella. That makes a ton of sense. It was the right move. He didn't really touch the ball that much, but, you know, again, I just said the same thing a million times. Against Capella, it's fine. He can just linger around the basket. He doesn't have to defend in space. And Harden did hit a 3 or 2, so maybe having Turner out there to defend in space would have helped, but then you don't have Sabonis' offense, and you can't just switch every time, so it wouldn't really have worked out. TJ Leaf, this is his second not terrible game in a row, which is big time. I think that him giving that extra bit of rest for Thad has been why Thad has been so good the last couple of games, and rebounding so well. You know, Leaf playing the end of the third and the beginning of the fourth gives that extra breather. It doesn't force them to play some awkward lineups that they have been playing in those situations. But Leaf was +3 in his 11 minutes. Didn't make a shot, but like stretching the floor, rebounding. He hasn't been unplayable like last year, which is huge. Just in terms of development, he's going in the right direction. So that's good. I don't know if it's just a 2-game flash in the pan because he was bad before that, but I mean, this is important. McDermott hit a 3, which is good. Wasn't good at anything else. They got to figure out what's going on with him. McMillan actually talked about him before the game. I wish I listened to my quotes more carefully. I only went through them once before this, but he said something to the effect of, like, he's got to get in a rhythm, and, like, eventually the timing of all this stuff will work out. And, like, yeah, that's all true. I believe that. But it's like, also, he's just standing around a lot, and that's on your offensive scheme. You got to get him moving. So that's tough. Corey Joseph was really good on D as well. He was the perfect matchup, and I'll talk about him in the segment about Nate. For this game, though, the Rockets have two really good guards. You need a good defensive guard out there. Kojo's the guy. He was 0-for-4, but really good D. Led him to being a +4, and playing with Domas helped. But everybody else who I haven't mentioned in the bad or good group was just average. Tough shooting night for Bojan and DC, but they were okay at pretty much everything else. And then Tyreek, same thing. Tough shooting night, but pretty good at everything else. So those three guys were just eh. And I think Tyreek should get a little bit more minutes, but an encouraging thing that I'll talk about in the next section is they brought him in the last minute to close, and finally, you know, they're seeing him in the closing lineup, which I think Pacers fans were clamoring for all summer. So maybe Nate will be more willing to go to that now that he realizes that option is there. The real sinking thing here, free throws. The Pacers' free throws continues to be just the biggest head-scratcher ever. Last year they were 11th in the league in free throw percentages. Here they're 27th before this game. B-Ball Ref hadn't updated it to after yet, but they shot below 70%, so they might actually be below 70% on the season after going 20-for-30 in this game. And that's so bad. I mean, that's brutal. They added McDermott. They added Evans, who were good at free throws last year. They took away Lance, who was bad at free throws last year. Not bad, but below average at free throws last year. And they're worse. It makes no sense. And then, you know, I talked about that DC bailing out Vic. He got this crazy rebound. He's got a chance to shoot two free throws with about 10-ish seconds to go in a three-point game. And he missed the first one. He made the second, but it didn't end up mattering. So, I mean, if he makes that first one, they could either intentionally miss or set up something different to just not be out of the game at that point. So that was tough. Tyreek, 3-for-6 from the line. Bojan, 6-for-9. It's just those things add up. I mean, if you make four more of those, you tie or win. So it was this head-scratcher there. About even in rebounding, about even in turnovers, you know, all that anecdotal stuff that actually does matter, they were fine in. Really came down to free throws and a lot of strategy in this one with the Capella stuff. So I think overall they played fine. They played the Rockets tough. I think the Rockets are definitely a more talented team, and they didn't have one of their better players in Eric Gordon. So this was a chance to win, but when you miss 10 free throws, you don't deserve to win. So it is what it is. But now I'm going to take my break, and then I'm going to talk about Nate McMillan. It'll be a shorter ending segment, but I'm going to defend McMillan in his time of need. He doesn't actually need me to defend him. I just wanted to say that. So one sec, I'll be right back to talk about McMillan. So McMillan was good in this game, and I know people were killing him because they lost by 4, and he had a technical foul that gave the other team a point. I loved the tech. So he was not complaining. People were asking Nate in the post-game presser about his tech, and he wasn't complaining. That was the wrong word. Please, I hope that doesn't get aggregated or like said. He was talking about how he just wants consistency out of the refs, and I agree. Because it felt like they were, you know, the Pacers would get hit, no call. The Rockets would get breathed on, call. And he was frustrated with that, and the team was too. You know, Thad Young was pounding on the floor in front of the refs. He gave the pettiest handoff the ball to the ref I've ever seen in my life after a crappy blocking call on him on Chris Paul. Domas spent an entire commercial break talking to a ref. And they got to calm down. You don't play the same when you're frustrated. You have to play your own game, and they weren't playing their own game. So Nate just took the tech, you know, chewed out the ref. Harden hits a free throw. I think it's worth 1 point to have your team playing like your team instead of a bunch of frustrated dudes. I really do. It did matter. It really did in the end, and perhaps I'm foolish for thinking that the 1 point wasn't a big deal, but I think it made, you know, I think in the aggregate they won that trade-off of the 1 point versus playing their own game. I mean, they almost came back, so I think it was the right thing. And I think Nate's rotation was good. He got Leafin at the right times. He allowed McDermott to play bad and be a net even. You know, he had everybody with good lineups. The only thing I'd have done differently is play Corey Joseph down the stretch. Collison was just kind of out there tonight. Like, I feel like he wasn't doing anything spectacular. Meanwhile, Kojo is a great defender and could have been good on the Rockets guards. I would have personally switched that up. But it is what it is. You know, I can't question him. He makes the right decision at the end of games time after time, pretty much every time last week. So that's just, I wanted to talk about the technical foul, really. I think it was the right thing to do. And maybe, you know, maybe it's not, but I really think it is, and I will defend that move for him. And I agree that the refs' consistency was suspect tonight, and I rarely complain about refs. So But that is what it is, and I think people are way too critical of Nate McMillan, so I wanted to take a segment to defend something that I thought was the right move. But that is all I got for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Tomorrow we will preview some action against the Philadelphia 76ers, which will be fun. I have a guest for that who is a fun guest, one of my friends, so stay on the lookout for that. But have a great rest of your day, and I will see you guys tomorrow.